So many people missed what Jesus said. It's as if John, who's writing this, wants us to see the irony that you have these people who thought they knew Jesus, but they didn't really understand him at all. You know, the same thing happens today, doesn't it? Yep. There's a lot of people who think they know about Jesus, but yet they don't know what to do with Jesus. In Jesus, they've been given the greatest gift that will ever be. But they remind me of a toddler holding the Hope Diamond. You know what the Hope Diamond is? It's a big blue diamond, about that big. Wars have been launched over it. Thousands of lives have been lost fighting over the Hope Diamond. Kings and queens have possessed it. It's a beautiful rock. But yet, if you were to place the Hope Diamond in the hands of a toddler, you know what the toddler's going to do with it? Don't put it in their mouth. They're going to go. They're going to bang it on things. They might break it. Diamonds are hard, but they're very brittle. So you wouldn't think about handing over the Hope Diamond to a toddler, right? But that's exactly what God has done in Jesus. Even for those who do not understand him or understand the value, God loves them so much, he says, I give you Jesus. The question is, what will it take for them to recognize? You know, there are three. There are probably more, but I could think of three reasons this morning why people seem to miss what Jesus said. You know, one of the reasons is they debate because of their reluctance. Look down at verse 43. The Bible tells us that a division occurred in the crowd because of Jesus. All through this feast, people were arguing about who Jesus is. Some were saying, he is the prophet, talking about that special prophet that Moses predicted would come. Others were saying, no, this is the Christ. This is that long-awaited Messiah that we've been looking for. And then there were others that were saying, no, he's a devil. We ought to take him away by force of hands and do violence to him. Everybody at that feast had their own opinion of who Jesus is. Same thing happens today. People argue about who is Jesus. Well, he was a good moral teacher, many say. He was a great religious leader. He was a great preacher. Back in 1985, a group of scholars at very leftist divinity schools, ones that no longer teach that God even exists. You know, you can go to some schools such as Harvard, where there is a divinity school, and you can get a PhD, a THD in theology, a doctorate in theology, and 9 out of 10 professors do not believe God exists. You know that? And it's not alone in that. And so back in 1985, a bunch of these leftist scholars got together, and they started an annual seminar called the Jesus Seminar. And you know what they do? They meet every year to decide which parts of the Word of God, especially the Gospels, are just made up. And since they've been meeting since 1985, and every year they say, well, Jesus didn't say this, that was added in. And Jesus didn't say that, and that was added in. And Jesus wasn't born of a virgin. That was made up. And Jesus wasn't born in Bethlehem. That was made up. And they just go on and on and on and on, and with no basis whatsoever, but they just proclaim this. And what do they get? They get a Jesus who is not the Son of God, who is not the Savior, who is not the living water. Now, why do they get to that point? Because they are reluctant to simply receive the truth, even when it stares at them in the face. So you've got folks that are going to just debate Jesus and never come to faith because they're reluctant to believe in him. But then you're going to have others that are going to doubt because of their ignorance. Some of the folks said, well, he might be the Christ. You see what John wrote, what they were saying in verse 41? While some were saying, this might be the Christ, there were some folks saying, oh, no, no, this can't be the Christ. Christ isn't going to come from Galilee, is he? And then the real Bible scholar stood up and said in verse 42, hey, the scripture tells us, it's back there in the book of Micah, the scriptures tell us that Christ was to be born in Bethlehem, and he's from the village where David was from, Bethlehem, and Jesus is from Galilee. Now, let me tell you something about those ancient scholars. They were right about what the scripture said. Problem is, they were wrong about Jesus. They didn't know the story of Jesus well enough to recognize that they were just speaking in ignorance. Now, you do understand that ignorance is not stupidity. Ignorance is curable. Stupidity is terminal. You can fix being ignorant. You can be enlightened. You can't do anything with the other one. That's just what is, okay? There's a lot of people in this world today. They think they know all about Jesus. They don't know anything about him at all, hardly. I run into this. I don't believe the Bible's true, preacher. Pastor, you're barking up the wrong tree. That's not for me. That Bible isn't true. You know what my question is. When someone says that, I have a standard fallback answer of any question along that line of reasoning. The question is, have you read it? Well, yeah, I read part of it. No, that's not what I asked. Have you read all of it? Have you read it? Have you spent time examining it? And it always seems to boil down to this. No. Then I follow up with the next question. How then can you tell me it's not true when you don't know what's in it? One of two things happens at that point. They either stop and realize the fallacy of that, or they make an emotional decision to remain ignorant and get angry and refuse to explore any further. That's the way it is. We've got a lot of people who think they know about Jesus, but they really don't. And there's a third reason why a lot of people miss what Jesus is saying. It's because they despise because of their arrogance. At the close of this chapter, John gives us an inside look at the discussions that were going on with the power brokers, the religious leaders in Jerusalem. When the guards came back and said, no, we didn't arrest him because nobody has ever spoken the way this man does, those authorities, I'm sure they were livid. I bet you could see the redness in their faces. They were so furious. The reason why we know they're angry is because you can look at verse 47 and see their reaction. Has he fooled you too? then they begin to look at one another very sarcastically. Have any of us supposed learned people believed in him? And then look at the arrogance that comes. Do you see it in verse 49? Oh, the problem is this crowd doesn't know the law, the word of God, so they're cursed of God. Arrogance. I'm right, and I cannot even entertain the idea that I might be wrong. Ever met anybody like that? I'm right, and it doesn't matter. Don't confuse me with facts. I know I am right. I cannot possibly be wrong. That's their mindset. And what happens is, when you confront someone with that kind of arrogance, as Jesus did, rather than swallow their pride, they strike back. They despise the one that dares challenge them. I remember when I went to graduate school, it was so radically different from undergraduate school. My years in college working on my bachelor's degree, it seemed that all those professors wanted to cram into my head all the things that I was supposed to know. And so it was facts and all the ways of looking at different issues, but it was all about learning some information I was supposed to have that degree. And it was very surprising when I went to graduate school, because then I learned, where I went to graduate school, I learned that it wasn't about getting this information and holding on to it. It was about learning to see what you don't know. Very different. To ask, what do I not know? And how do I learn that? That's the same for us. In Christ, we're to be like graduate students. We're not to walk around saying, oh, I got it all figured out and I know everything and I've got it all packaged up nice and neat. No. It's to be able to have the sense to recognize, I don't know this. And here's how I need, and here's what the steps I need to take to learn that and discover that and how that can change my life. Don't be like those that Paul wrote of in Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, where he said, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Was Albert Einstein an intelligent man? Oh, yeah? Yeah? Was he more intelligent than me? Yes? You better be saying yes, okay? All right. Compared to Albert Einstein, I don't have enough intelligence to be worthy to tote his books for him, okay? Great intellect. One of the greatest of all time. We all agree on that. But did you know that those people that were closest to Albert Einstein said he completely lacked common sense? That some of the most simplest common sense things he struggled with? Because he was so focused on one side of his development that he missed basic thing. So you can be very intelligent, but at the same time, in some ways, be a fool. The Son of God has offered to this world the living water. Have enough common sense to drink. Don't debate about Jesus. Don't doubt about Jesus. Worst of all, don't despise Jesus. Come and drink.